In case you're wondering, you have about 6.5 weeks to get your taxes together. That's how long it is until April 15th. For most of us, it's a straightforward process. Pull together receipts and other records from the past year and fill out the form, or get somebody else to do it. The process is less straightforward for some businesses because they are involved in the production and or sale of marijuana. It is legal for both medical and recreational use in both of our states, but still illegal under federal law. So let's hear what that does for accounting and tax preparation. We have two guests in the studio. Ben Yuma is the manager of Jefferson State Farms based in Medford. Ben, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And Justin Bottier is the managing partner at Rogue Tax Professionals. So he'll be speaking to the tax preparation end of things. Justin, good to have you in the studio.
Good morning.
So, Ben, let's start with you. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of Jefferson State Farms and how long you've been in business and what you do.
Okay, in 2016, we got licensed for recreational marijuana here in Oregon, here in Southern Oregon, right outside of Medford.
And to grow pot?
Yeah, just the production of marijuana.
Mm-hmm. And how difficult was it? I just wonder how many hoops you had to jump through just to get to the license part of things.
Well, the interesting part is the biggest hoops I had were going through the county rather than the state.
Mm-hmm. What was the issue with the county?
Just to get all the planning approvals.
Mm-hmm. And did you have to visit the planning office several times a week or several times a month or something?
I was there several times a week through the whole process.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take to get from the initial start of paperwork to actually getting all your stuff set up with the county?
It took about 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. And so what does your operation do? What kinds of things go on there?
We grow cannabis. It's pretty simple. You know, last year we did all just full-term outdoor, and this year we're expanding. Or not really expanding, but doing it a little differently. We're using greenhouses and full-term outdoor.
All right. So you got both indoor and outdoor operations.
It's not indoor, but it's using greenhouses. And what that does, it gives us better quality.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much outdoor right now that gives us an advantage in the marketplace.
Is there a real difference? I mean, the advantage in the marketplace being that you're available at times when the outdoor stuff isn't?
Well, that can be part of it, but mainly the quality of it. Just the quality, the way the product looks, the bag appeal, you just get better quality simply by growing in a more controlled environment.
I never thought about bag appeal, but I guess it is like so many other things in the American consumer marketplace. Your apples have to be red and your oranges have to be orange, and people expect certain physical and cosmetic things to happen with their product.
Yeah, it's interesting, and that's the demand right now.
All right, so let's talk to Justin Bottier. I mean, what kind of business? Your business has been around a lot longer than any marijuana business, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, and I have to believe that this is the time of year that you can scarcely spend a half an hour to spend at a radio studio.
No, I already put in about 4 hours this morning. So.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So what are the days generally like? Is it from January 1st all the way clear through to April?
No, around this time, like the second part of February, it starts to pick up really big, and then I like to be home at night with my family, so instead of doing evenings, I do mornings, and I just go to bed really early, and I get up really early, and I get loaded on caffeine, and then I go ahead and, get through the day.
So it's not every place that will take on a marijuana-related business as a, I don't know if it's, is it just tax preparation, or is it tax preparation and accounting as well?
Well, we do a lot less bookkeeping and payroll and those kinds of things than we used to. We do a lot of business tax returns. We do a lot of business consulting and those kinds of things. And so having a background in business tax returns and consulting, then the cannabis industry was a real easy addition. I'm pretty excited to be part of the end of prohibition on this. I think it's long overdue. I was excited when it became, I did a lot of studying when I was in college on the pros and cons of legalizing, and so it was really interesting now that it has come to fruition. And so actually the more complex part of the tax part of the cannabis industry is the business entity part of it, the business tax return part of it. The actual cannabis component of it is a couple of tweaks. It's with big ramifications, but for professionals, it's not too difficult to get educated in it, and we certainly are a little bit at risk with our clients doing these returns, but I'm excited to be a part of it.
Does that risk extend to you then, I'm curious, as the tax preparer for them?
Well, they certainly are at risk for audit. Colorado was a lot of the Colorado companies have been facing increased audit. And so I suspect that Oregon will also. And therefore, if the tax returns that I file get audited, then I'm, you know, I have to represent. Fortunately, none of my tax returns have ever been audited. I have done a lot of representation before, but it'll be interesting. And I'm hoping we'll, you know, Southern Oregon will be kind of low profile for the IRS, especially since California is now legal. I hope that the IRS just picks on them, leaves us alone.
They'll spend their attention on California. Yeah. It's bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. We're talking about marijuana and tax preparation, which are some interesting legal considerations to be made, since marijuana is legal for both personal and medical use in both Oregon and California, and yet still illegal on the federal level. Ben Yuma is with Jefferson State Farms. You just heard from Justin Bottier, who's the managing partner at Rogue Tax Professionals. If you have input you'd like to deliver, we'd like to hear from you at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Ben, you were describing that a lot of your issues in getting set up with Jefferson State Farms was the set of issues dealing with the county planning department, Jackson County. But how much time and energy did you put into trying to think about, okay, well, then I'm going to have to do tax returns down the road and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I learned fairly quickly that it was a lot different. And I, just by reading about it, you can't write off as much stuff as a normal business. And thanks to talking to Justin, have him by my side, I've learned a lot more about that too. So
just in general, I mean, because so much has been said about the fact that if you deal with the marijuana business, any bank with a federal charter doesn't particularly want to deal with you because it's still illegal under federal law. So, I mean, just what's the basic financial operation like for you? Are you able to use any financial institution?
Well, we have to use cash right now. That was a big obstacle at first, and that it makes bookkeeping a little bit harder. But you just have to keep really good track of your records.
And higher security, I would think, because
yes,
you're dealing with large
true.
Amounts of cash. So when you talk about cash flow in your business, it is truly cash. So you can't write checks for anything, I'm thinking. There's no credit?
You can. You know, there are certain institutions that will allow you to bank with them. But I haven't found anybody locally here. I've heard of some up north. But I also hear that they charge enormous fees, like mm-hmm. up to $1,500 a month just to have a checking account.
And is that possible for you? I mean, are you making that kind of money at this point?
It's possible. It's just something I haven't looked into.
So you're more comfortable at this point going with the cash-only business and dealing with the issues there?
I am, until I meet a local institution down here.
Okay. Grab your headphones. I want to take a phone call in here from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about marijuana and tax preparation with Ben Yuma and Justin Bottier.
Good morning. You know, I deal with this almost, well, not every day, but I deal with this quite a bit in the job that I do. And a couple of points. First of all, our friend the grower there is absolutely correct. The biggest problem that they have, in my opinion, in terms of accounting challenges, is operating on a cash basis. And the simplest way of dealing with it is to keep a cash paid out book and a cash receipt book handy, so every transaction is recorded and there's backup. That's what you need in an audit, as far as that goes. The other issues that particularly the growers are going to run into is that the state's treating them as a regular industrial, regular employer, as opposed to an agricultural employer, so they become subject at a very, very low level to all of the withholding and unemployment laws. The last piece is because of the transience of an awful lot of the labor. I suspect that a lot of people, for example, trimmers and people along those lines, are being treated as contractors or casual labor, where they need to be included directly in the payroll for the business once that business becomes subject. Those are the kind of things that I'm running into in my work.
All right.
So, for whatever it's worth.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. I appreciate it. He raises some really interesting points, which, you know, I hadn't even gotten to asking you, Ben, about whether you have employees and if you're paying them in cash and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, from the beginning, we did start out with contractors, as this guy said. And that helps a lot. It simplifies by not having your own payroll. And a lot of it we just did ourselves. You know, we weren't at full capacity, so we didn't need a lot of employees at the beginning. But this year will be a lot different.
Right. And Justin, you wanted to get in here.
Yeah. So to address the bookkeeping concerns, one of the things that we've been recommending and is using QuickBooks Online. And then there's another software called Receipt Bank that will couple with QuickBooks Online so that you can get an app on your smartphone. And then every time you pay with cash, you can take a picture of that receipt and it uploads into the accounting system. So definitely doing like some sort of ledger, paper ledger, keeping receipts is a really good idea. But if you've got like four people out there with credit cards or cash and they're, you know, buying stuff, oftentimes what happens is those people will keep their receipts in like their cup holder and then get spilled coffee all over them, or they end up on the floor of their truck or whatever. So the best way to do it, we're finding, is have a copy of Receipt Bank, the app on your phone, take a picture of the receipts every time that you take it. It uploads to QuickBooks Online, and that's been a really good modern kind of way of keeping track of your cash transactions.
You know, I haven't asked yet whether you did tax returns for people in the marijuana business last year or any previous year. I mean, it has been legal for long enough.
Well, I have done a handful medicinal grow operations in the past. Last couple of years, a lot of people were staying under the radar. A few people were poking their head up and wanting to be legitimate. But it's only since it's become recreationally legally that people are definitely banging down the door for help. Or people are looking to get a loan and they want to use the system, but they have no tax returns in order to prove their income. And so then they want tax returns done at that time. But it is interesting. A lot of these concerns that are being raised, personally, I've only started addressing them. And then as far as the contract labor or the employee part of it, there are rules, BOLI rules, employment department rules,
BOLI being the Bureau of Labor and Industries in Oregon.
Yeah, as far as how you treat a person, if you should be treating them as an employee versus a independent contractor. And, you know, really I find that a lot of the people that are in the industry, working in the industry, are trained. They've already been doing this. They're consultants. They're people who work for several different companies. They're not necessarily only fixed to one. And maybe I've got this all wrong, but nobody has corrected me on it. But, if you're not telling them, if you're saying, here's the job, please help me, please do it, then they can be considered independent contractors. And the gentleman that called before might argue with me on that. But you set them up with an LLC, Articles of Organization, with the state, get them an EIN number, and make sure that they understand that they're not employees, they're independent contractors. And maybe there won't be issues there. At least I haven't any witnessed any issues so far, except for now I'm on the radio telling people about this. So.
Marijuana so and taxes.
I may be attracting a lot of attention, but now if you're training people, they're working exclusively for you and they're taking your direction, then they need to be on the payroll. But there's a lot of people who go from farm to farm, helping out, consulting. You know, those people can be considered independent contractors from my perspective.
Justin Bottier is the managing partner at Rogue Tax Professionals. Ben Yuma is the proprietor of Jefferson State Farms. We're talking about marijuana and tax policy. So if the business is cash only, Paul mentioned credit cards, and it occurred to me, oh, that's right, you can't even use credit cards, can you?
Well, you can. I use my personal credit cards quite a bit.
But, I mean, you can't take credit cards as payment for transactions with you, can you?
I haven't done so myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, there are companies out there that are paying with checks, that are paying in other ways besides cash. It's complicated the way the banking system is set up. But a lot of companies, they have more than one company. They have a holdings company.
Mm-hmm.
They're not called, particularly a cannabis company.
Right, okay.
So that's just something I haven't got into yet, of making more than one company.
So does that work legally? Or does it fit within the law, Justin, to be able to say, hey, look, this company does not deal directly, and one of our subsidiaries does?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of companies have a lot of grow operations. The owners of grow operations already have established businesses in other areas, And so they use that company to do the banking, and that's not necessarily technically the way it needs to be going, but sometimes what I've heard is you have to break rules sometimes to comply to rules because there's so much disconnect in regard to the rules altogether. The other way that's very popular is setting up a leasing company that houses the infrastructure, the property, the greenhouse, the equipment, and then the grow operation rents from that company, and that company actually can get a bank set up and do the banking.
I was reading as I looked at cannabis and financial issues. There's the IRS Section 280E that seems to speak to this a bit. Is that?
Oh yeah, well that's kind of one of the big holdups for the cannabis industry is that you can only deduct cost of goods sold, and you have to re-add, I guess, to your tax return the deductions that you would ordinarily take for overhead. Mm-hmm. So non-required professional fees, those kinds of things, office supplies, office labor, administration expenses, those end up getting added back to the tax return. So meaning they reduce your income, and then you have to add them back to your income, essentially. So that's the big thing. And then there is a debate as to whether or not you can take depreciation on infrastructure, those kinds of things. I don't know exactly the specifics. It's an issue that has been raised in Colorado, I guess, about the IRS not allowing depreciation deductions for infrastructure and those kinds of things.
So a world of complication, yeah, for sure. And I'll ask the last question to Ben Yuma before we go, which is, I mean, I imagine this was like, hey, bold new universe, we get into legal marijuana. But as you look at the level of complexity in trying to set up the business and take care of things like taxes, I mean, is it worth it to you?
Yeah, it's worth it. I mean, it's great doing it. I think it's just very important to have the professional support.
Which you certainly have. Okay, Justin Bottier is the managing partner at Rogue Tax Professionals. Ben Yuma is with Jefferson State Farms, and they are navigating the world of preparing taxes for a marijuana-based business. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
All right, thanks for having us.
All right, wow.